And throughout this show, I mean, we've whizzed through the history of exploring our solar system. But Chris, what do you think the future of exploring space will be like?
I think it'll just mirror the extension of the history of exploration of the surface of the Earth. You know, we used to all live in Africa, and over 70,000 years, we've spread everywhere that our technology will take us and allow us to stay, including in the last 100 years, to living at the South Pole in Antarctica with pretty high level of comfort. And for the last 18 years, living on board a spaceship orbiting the world continuously on the International Space Station. So it's really just our own imagination and technology that limits us. And so I think it will take us from the space station to orbiting the moon, to the surface of the moon, and not just to explore like we've done, but to actually make that part of the normal human experience where people will be living on the moon. Seems fanciful, but so did living on the space station or living in Antarctica not very long ago. And once we've sorted out a lot of the technology living on the moon, it'll open our ability to go even further, eventually Mars and beyond.
I was just going to ask, I mean, we've heard a lot about exploring Mars. So if humans could go there, would you want to explore the red planet?
Oh, of course. And it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It's not like we can't imagine how. We just have to invent some things to make them trustworthy and safe enough that we would be willing to climb into them and travel that long way. And it's not unimaginable. It's just we have to invent a few things first before we're going to be willing to add that to the list of the places that we live. You have to make it safe enough to then make it simple enough to then make it cheap enough to make it worthwhile. And that's where we're headed.
Well, Chris Hadfield, thank you very much. And also with us is Stuart Clark. Stuart, would you fancy a trip to Mars?
Well, yeah, in principle, I fancy it. It's just the amount of time it would take. You know, I struggle to get to the supermarket with everything I'm doing at the moment. So in principle, I would love to go to Mars.
Also, a six-month trip to a supermarket would be pretty gross.
Actually, that is pretty bad. When you put it like that, Mars sounds like a doddle. Yeah.
So there are quite a few missions that are looking to Mars. So what's going on? What are some of the latest things that we've seen?
Yeah, so just in the last week or so, we've had NASA's InSight mission landing on the planet. And this is a really interesting scientific mission because it's all about the interior of Mars. It's all about looking inside, seeing how that planet is made, how active it remains today. And this is a big, big thing because we think of Mars today as being almost a dead world, but there's no guarantee of that. There could be, you know, magma on the move down there, which means that in principle you could have the volcanoes come back to life. So looking inside the planet, we want to see how dead or alive is Mars.
Okay, so that's InSight, but then we've got this other big mission in 2020. So how are they different and who's doing that?
Yeah, so the 2020 mission is the ExoMars rover, and that's the European Space Agency's next mission to Mars. And this is truly fascinating because it really will look for traces of life on Mars, and that could be present life or it could be extinct life and chemical fossils and fingerprints and things like that.
Well, it's very exciting. Earlier, we spoke about Voyager, and that really changed our view of our solar system. I mean, would something like this have the same effects, or are there other missions that could create even bigger changes to how we see our nice system?
If you were to find evidence of life on Mars, I couldn't imagine a bigger scientific discovery at the moment, because you can see whether it looks like Earth life or is it completely different. And whichever answer you get, that's really significant for telling us about life on Earth and how unique or not we are, how we evolved, all of those sorts of fundamental biological questions. Now, looking beyond ExoMars and into the sort of the wider universe, the biggest mission to be looking at is the James Webb Space Telescope. And this is the successor, if you like, to the Hubble Space Telescope. And James Webb will look into space at infrared wavelengths, so wavelengths that are a bit longer than we can see with our eyes. And this will allow it to look into places that we've never properly been able to look before.
And so, I mean, when we say that, how is that even possible?
So because it has longer wavelengths of light that it's looking for, these can penetrate into dusty clouds and nebula close by. So we can see young stars and young planets that are forming. It will also be able to look into the very far distant universe where light is stretched by the expansion of the universe out of the visible into the more infrared wavelengths. It will be looking for the way that galaxies form. It may stand a chance of even seeing possibly the first stars that were there in the universe, which we've never seen before.
So it's basically an all-seeing, very impressive time machine to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a general purpose observatory that will look at the universe in a way we haven't yet been able to look at in this detail. And in the past, whenever we've done that, we have changed the way we think about the universe.
Oh gosh, I really hope that happens. I can't wait to see what the James Webb Space Telescope will reveal. Thank you very much, Stuart. And